Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So we had been discussing chapter 8. We obviously have been learning to meditate upon the Supreme. We have come to the conclusion that if I want to achieve that infinite happiness, these efforts of mine in this finite world will be futile. Therefore, I need to meditate on the Supreme, the Infinite, the Imperishable. Now, unless I know who I'm meditating upon, obviously it is very difficult. All religion says, love God. And everybody says, I love God. But then you say, but do you believe in God? I say, well, I'm not sure. All religions talk about it. I'm not sure, but I love God. Now, those are two contradictory statements. I don't know whether God exists or not, whether he is there or not, what his nature is, on the other hand, but I love God. You know. So there is something which I need to understand is how do I love God? That's basically is the method described here and say those great masters who have contemplated on this and say, came to the conclusion that if I want to make a change from one state of existence to another, I need to know what I am trying to achieve. And then at the time of the change, I must be constantly thinking about that state of existence which I'm trying to achieve. We all know that. Something to achieve. Till I achieve that, my constant focus should be on that. And at the time of when the time comes, the exam times, or that competition time when I'm trying to win that medal, at that time there should be no other thought but the thought of winning that medal. In all these competitions, Olympics, out of all the competitors who are almost equal, the one who has the most focus is going to win. So Bhagavan said, in the time of the change, in the antakale, prayanakale, the words used, I must be constantly be focused on the goal which I am trying to achieve, which is to get out of this misery of limitedness into the joy of unlimitedness, infiniteness. Kavim Puranam Anusasitaram, that which I am trying to achieve is that ancient as the Lord of all things and beings. How do I achieve oneness with him? Is to identify with him. And how do I identify with him? Is the verses, the last two verses, which tells him that. Sarvadvarani samyamya. Verse 12 says, by closing all the gates of perception, my identity of myself comes from my perception of what I receive from this world. How do I decide that I'm smarter than others? I look at the others and say, well, I actually do this better than them. Therefore, I'm smarter than them. Our perception of ourselves is only what our observations are of the world around. That my standard riddle I ask that my father told me when I was probably 5 years old is that two people working on a truss, both of them were leaning against each other, so fell down. And when they fell down, luckily they fell into a heap of garbage, so they were not hurt. They stood up, they looked at each other. One guy's face was dirty, others was miraculously clean. The guy whose face was clean went to the restroom, washed his face, then went to the work. Guy's face was dirty. Without washing the face, he goes to work right away. Why is the case? Obviously, the answer is simple. The guy with a dirty face looked at the guy with a clean face. He said, my face must be clean too. He goes to work. Guy looks at the dirty face. He said, my face must be dirty too. He goes to the bathroom and washes it. So this is how we judge ourselves. To get out of this judgment by comparison, Bhagavan says the first prerequisite for meditation is sarvadvarani samyame, close all the gates. So now you have no measurement, a yardstick to judge yourself. Then it's a mano hruddhi niradhyacha. And then focusing your mind into your heart. Right now, my mind is constantly running out on different channels. But if I want to identify myself with something higher than, I need to focus my mind into my heart. That means myself. Murdhni adhaya atmanaha pranam. Then focusing all the pranas into the head. Now obviously these are the words used in Puranas. These are the words used in the scriptures. Head, heart, and the body. Who am made up of? Body, mind, and intellect. I have three distinct personalities. One is physical, which is made up of all the impressions which I get. So, sarvadvarani samyamya, I get out of my identification with this body. By focusing my mind into my heart, I get out of my mind identification, because my mind right now compares me with others. And then head is intellect. All these activities in my body, when I focus into that intellect, that all three are now are at tranquilibrium, and they are not one or other trying to get my attention. And he said, with that, when I chant Omiti Ekaksaram Brahma Vyaharan Mam Anusmaran, then thinking about the Lord, both mind and intellect are at work. However, they are now not doing what they are used to of doing. I'm used to of constantly gauging the world outside and then comparing myself and comparing my situation and say whether I'm happy, I'm unhappy, whether I'm good, I'm bad. All that is at the comparison of the world level. When I close all that perception and then give my mind something to do, because mind has a tendency to do something if I don't ask it to do something. So then, Om iti ek aksaram vyaharan, then chanting the word Om. Why Om? Anything else is perfectly acceptable, as we have heard in our discussions. However, there is always a danger that if we use any other word, my mind may run away and make another association. In our tradition, all our children are named after God. My name is Nilkant. My brother's name is Mahesh. Somebody's name is Krishna. Now, Swami used to make a big joke about this thing and say, as soon as I say Krishna, Krishna, and then I suddenly remember, oh, that Krishna, last time he met me, did not acknowledge that I'm there. And their mind goes away from there. So even though my all intention was to think about the Krishna of Vrindavan, my mind associate another Krishna somewhere. Same is a danger in anything, Shiva, Nilkant, whatever. Our parents used to name ourselves in the name of God. You know why? Because they learned the same Bhagavad Gita. It's a prayana kale, at the time of death. If I remember the Lord's name, then I'll be liberated. Well, what is the safest to think about my children? So let's name them Bhagavan, Nilkant, Shiva, Mahesh. So I have a safer bet that I will remember God. But that's not what it says here. It simply says, give your mind something to focus on so it doesn't run away. And Om, as we have learned, is the sound symbol of God. What is the origin of it? Our Upanishad describes that it is made up of these three sounds, A, U, Ma, which is a beginning of a sound a lingering sound in your mouth and the closing sound, which describes the all the worlds which we can think of, the creation, maintenance, and dissolution. So the sound symbol assigned to God is Om. So when I'm chanting Om, chances of my mind focusing on that eternal Lord, the imperishable Lord, is much greater. Om iti ek aksaram vyaharan mam anusmaran. Then remember me. So give the intellect something to do, give mind something to do, and then focus on yourself to experience yourself. Ya prayati tyajan deham sayati paramam gati. With that attitude, one who leaves this body, he attains me. Now obviously we have talked about whether this is actually at the time of a physical death. It's very possible that you can use that as a definition or a method of a perfect death. But we all know, as we have heard, even Pandey is saying something, at the time of death, you are physically and mentally not even capable of thinking about this thing. And we all know, even from the history, that the great souls like Buddha died of what? Food poisoning. Dayanand Saraswati died of what? Poisoning. Somebody poisoned him. I even know in my own life I have seen Swami Chinmananda of a heart surgery. When your body is going through such a traumatic changes, it may not be possible. But what it says is any time when you are trying to make a change from one state to another, in my meditation I'm trying to make that change from this state of existence to another. In other words, right now I'm constantly in a state of samadhi of this body, mind and intellect. No matter what I'm thinking, but one thing I never miss is thinking about me. This is me. I am thinking. I never have to remind myself that this is me. So I'm always in a constant state of samadhi about this limited body, mind and intellect. No matter what other things are going in your mind, one thought, aham, this is me, this is me, this is me, is constantly going on. The change from that, Bhagavan said, is you will be continue to doing those 50 thoughts you are doing right now, except that this is me, will change from this is me, that supreme, will change. That's the death of the ego. Ego, which says this limited being is me, this conditioned self is me, changes from that unconditioned self is me. Everything else remains exactly same. The world remains to continue as it was before my meditation. I remain in the same state as I was before. If I had ulcer, that ulcer is not going to go away when I come out of the meditation. But my identification is gone. The next verse, Ananya Chetaha Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasaha. With this constant practice of thinking myself as not me, the limited being, and constant practice of thinking me as something other than this limited being, the Supreme Self, Ananya Chetaha, not thinking about anything else. Now again, when I first started learning Bhagavad Gita, I said, this is mere impossible. How can I not think of anything else? I'm an architecture student, I'm an architect, I have to do all of that. Bhagavan says, you are doing all of that, but you constantly think about you as this. That has to be changed. That when I think about myself, I say, oh, I'm an architect. When I say, I'm this, that's my ego constantly prodding me, saying, don't forget that you are this, you have that accomplishment. Don't forget that you are an educated man. Don't forget that you are the owner of this. That chetaha, that understanding should not be there. Anya chetaha, only identification is I am that unconditioned self. Yomam smarati nityasa, constantly. Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. for them I'm easy to attain. So it's a constant practice, Brahma said. And therefore the word introduced in few words, Abhyasa Yoga. You know, Bhagavan Vedvyas uses the word yoga in a liberal manner. We have seen Buddhi Yoga. Now he says Abhyasa Yoga. In other words, if you think that this is going to be attained just because you have come to the conclusion that this is it, nothing is going to change. But if you constantly practice this idea of this is not me, but myself is greater than this limited self, this constant practice one who does, and then remembering his self, for him it is very easy. Tasyaham sulabha partha. Bhagavan said, for those people who are constantly practicing of this abhyas, that this is not me, that's me. This is not me, that's me. I come very easily to him. Nitya yuktasya yoginaha. One who is established in this understanding, such a yogi, this comes very easy, Bhagavan said. So what is the benefit? I think Vedvyasa knew how we all think. So he said, I did all of that. So what's the big deal? You just said that nothing will change. If I have problems at job, they still will be there when I go there next time. He said, no, there is a difference. Mam upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam asaswatam na apnuvanti mahatmanaha sansiddhim paramam gataha. Those mahatmas, those great souls who achieved this siddhi of transferring this identification from this limited ego to the great unconditioned self, which is imperishable, unborn, undying, for them, punarjanma na upetya, there is no coming back to this wrong identification with the limited ego. See, in our case, what happens is, for a while we start thinking that this should be the case, but as soon as something happens, we are back to our normal identification. No, but what are you thinking about? This is me, you know. I am the one who is in charge here. You know. So this ego identification, now and again, may go away, but it's constantly there. But it's those Mahatmas who have achieved this siddhi by constant practice, for them, no matter what the circumstances changes for them, that identification will never take place. Once the ignorance is gone, I may be in a dream and say, oh, I'm in Hawaii, but when I wake up and realize, no, I'm still in Richmond, now in my waking state, you may tell no matter how many times that you're not in Richmond, well, that's not going to happen. I know I'm. Because the ignorance about myself is gone. You see, for those, some siddhim mahatma, those great souls who have transferred their identification from this limited being to that supreme being, for them, there is no punarjanma. And we know the theory of our punarjanma is continuing into another state of existence to fulfill our vasanas and desires. My vasanas and desires are there because I find myself incomplete. Without my BMW, I'm not complete. So that's my vasana. So if this BMW doesn't work, well, I want another one. And therefore, in the pursuit of acquiring that state, punarjanma is nothing but this ego not content with what it is. It wants to achieve that state again into another form. That's what we call it death. The death of this body is not the death of my vasanas and desires. So I take another form which I think is conducive for fulfilling my vasanas and desire. Bhagavan says, for those Mahatmas, that punarjanma is not there because this identification with ego is no more there. Therefore, they are dukkhalayam asaswatam. they never have to come back into this state of temporariness and dukkhalyam. This world of ours, this is not a negative comment by Bhagavan saying your world is imperfect. They're saying you see your world imperfect. Hinduism doesn't say this world is imperfect. Hinduism simply says, you see, Mr. Ego, this world is imperfect. Why, Bhagavan, why did you create this world like this? Why didn't you think about me as 6.5 feet tall and almighty and all powerful? Bhagavan said, the world is exactly what it should be. It's you and I see. Therefore, I see them as a dukkhalayam, constant pain. Gujarati says, Sthat sande tertute. You have a garment which is old, you're trying to stitch 7 places, then 13 more places are open now. Our world is like that. One thing is taken care of, the other 3 are in problem. He said, that you will be out of that. Why? Because I don't identify with this world in the same way as I used to before. And say, once that happens, you're freed forever. You never have to go back to this life of uncertainties and unhappiness. And that was the goal in the beginning. So with that, I'll stop here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.